Liam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jake. How have you been?
I'm all right, yeah. I'm in the mood for a quiz.
You look well, you look well.
What the hell? What was that supposed
to mean?
Mate,
your shirt looks lovely.
Thank you. Lovely shirt,
lovely chain. You're looking very sexy. But, you know, you're just looking good. You look good.
Have you been drinking? What's going on?
Yeah, I've had a few. Something I wanted to talk to you about.
Uh-oh, what's happened?
We've got a lovely sort of loyal base of listeners now, don't you
Yeah,
think?
Yeah,
people
yeah.
People commenting.
Really nice.
It's lovely, and we really appreciate you all. Do you think we should have a name for them?
Oh.
You know how podcasts have like a name, like what they don't just call them listeners. And I think especially ours, is it's so interactive.
Yeah.
It's nice to give them a name. You know how like...
I see what you mean, like Swifties and whatever. Like,
yeah, like that.
Swift,
and people have that for like podcast listeners.
Do you know what? I think both of our listeners would really enjoy that.
Yeah, I think they would.
I think they would.
Sam and Connor, would you? I've got a suggestion.
Have you actually thought about this?
Zoe, help me with this. Punters.
Oh, lovely.
It keeps with the P theme.
Yeah.
If you're a listener, we go like, so our punter sent in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If we were to ever set up like a Patreon or something like that, we could be like, okay, right, the punters.
What are
the punters
got to
say? Or like, we got a comment from a punter this week and they said,
I like that.
Do you like it? Punters?
I like punters.
Any other suggestions? The other thing I thought was locals.
Locals is nice, but I was quite like to celebrate the fact that we've got some people listening from all around the world. Punters is nice.
I think that's nice. It keeps with the P theme.
Quiz heads. Sounds a bit derogatory for some reason.
It's a bit derogatory.
Yeah, all right. Do you know what? The punters.
You're a punter.
The punters.
So if you're a regular listener, you don't have to be a punter.
Hang on a minute. What about the regulars?
Oh, that's good.
That's quite nice, isn't it?
He's a regular.
She's a regular.
Yeah, that's true. Or the regular punters.
The regulars or the punters?
We might refer to you as the regulars or the punters.
We'll see which one sticks after a while.
But that would be what you refer to as. So thank you to our loyal regulars, our loyal punters. You are appreciated. We see your comments. And thank you for all of that. We've got a great guest on today, haven't we, Jake?
Go on.
Huge Davis.
Massive guest.
This
is a titan of the comedy industry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, I don't know. And also, what's great is that no one really does the same sort of stuff as him.
Yeah.
It's very unique. It's very great.
It's not often you see someone with a keyboard around their neck.
With a massive, massive keyboard around their neck.
And they're not stood at the side of a street performing. No. You'll catch this guy out of 8 out of 10 Castors Countdown.
Have you seen this guy playing a keyboard on his neck on the side of the street?
Classic busker thing, isn't it?
No, it's not. What are you talking about?
Right, how many people on telly do you see with a keyboard around their neck?
Yeah, just Hugh Davis. But on the street, it's guitars and that's it.
Yeah. You get classic.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'll ask you about that. Have you ever seen him on the street?
Okay.
Right, let's go and meet him because I think he's in the pub now.
Let's go and meet him.
All right.
Joining our pub quiz team this week is a stand-up comedian who hits all the right notes on his keyboard. He's a huge name, quite literally. It's Huge Davis.
It's Huge Davis, everyone.
Hello.
Our producer writes those intros for us. How did you find it?
It's okay. I've done podcasts before where the producer writes a thing you have to say.
I've done
it before with Nick Helm. We used to have a podcast together. It's a live podcast. And he had to read the thing before we did the podcast. Then immediately afterwards he was just like, by the way, I didn't write that fucking shit. He did it every single time. Producer was in the room. A producer quit. You know, the way that the podcast was successful, it finished because the producer just stopped messaging us back. We were just like, so when's the next one? Never got back to us. We messaged him a few more times. It was like proper podcast. We had like big names. Guests.
Really?
Yeah, we were like, the last episode we did was like Harry Hill, Susie Dent, and like KL were our guests. It was a good, big podcast.
Your producer was onto a good thing here.
And
all of that just fell apart because the producer
didn't message back.
Yeah,
did you check up on him? He didn't sort of get it by a bus on the way home or something.
No, he's about. It was a film quiz.
It was a film quiz. Oh,
but
no.
Yeah, but it was like it was good, and then we just stopped doing the podcast. Basically, we'd filmed a bunch of them, and we'd like made trailers and stuff, and like it was like high end stuff. And we just never. I think the producers hated us. It was like basically just like stop texting them.
I do feel bad, but for the future of our quiz-based podcast,
maybe
I'm
be
fucking
nice to,
delighted.
Yeah. Be nice
I'm
to
delighted
the
it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Be nicer to the producer.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Brilliant intro, guys. That was really great.
Huge,
you've not had a huge amount of luck with podcasts, really, because off menu, you've turned into sort of like a meme, basically.
Yeah, kind of. I was actually with Ed last weekend, and because they film ahead of time.
Yeah.
I think this is going on for quite a long time. I don't think it's stopping at all. So it's all right. I mean, it's just more mental people come to my gigs, I guess.
Do people come to gigs off the back of...
When I went to Off Menu, when I first, when my episode first came out, and I filmed, it was like 2 years after I'd like recorded it. Mm-hmm. So by the time, the reason that I'm on it is because when I got on it, it wasn't a big podcast.
Right.
And then they delayed it because obviously like celebrities come in and they promote whatever they're selling at that time, but then they just keep all the comedians. They're like friends basically as like in episodes. In case someone drops out. So my one just went on at a point in which the podcast was so big, it was unbelievable. So I think after the first month after I got off menu, every gig was like packed out.
Yeah, the price to pay is just being a running joke in their podcast. For
listeners who don't know what the on-running joke is, do you want to tell them what the...
Whenever there's like a huge celebrity, like an A-list celebrity, James basically says like, oh, on this podcast we used to have people like Huge Davies. And he did it for I think it was like the Robert De Niro episode or something like that. And obviously like that's the most listened to episode that's ever happened in like all of podcasts. So like... And then it was like Jeff Goldblum the next week. And then it was like loads of really big people like Daisy Ridley on and stuff. So they just kept making the joke. And now it's like a joke you can't not make. So every podcast, every single... So of the biggest podcast in this country, I mentioned every single episode as the least famous person having that podcast, basically.
And do you get off-menu fans sort of roasting you as well then?
Yeah, in the DMs, yeah. They're being mean to me in the DMs, yeah. In
public. Is that why you've done this podcast? Is it just give yourself a boost? You know you're big of a
Well,
combined.
As I've said, to put me in front of a quiz, you know, I couldn't think of a way to lower my self-esteem even more. As I said to you before, I was doing House of Games yesterday. It's hard to find out your thick as pig shit on television.
I hate to say it, mate, but when I watch House of Games, I think they basically have three quite thick people and one person who gets all the answers right. I would have hoped you'd have been the one person getting the answers right.
No, it's not. No, not to be. I could tell we were doing badly because Richard kept saying, you guys can do other things that we can't. He was like,
well, how are you at quizzes? Do you pub quiz a lot? Huge.
I pub quiz before. Sometimes.
Just the once.
Yeah, I don't think. I sometimes think people invite me on pub quizzes thinking that I'll be smart. But I'm just not smart. I think. And now people invite me on. You know when you, like in the gym, when you're like on that bike thing?
Gym, mate, yeah.
And then you put on incline to make it harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what people, they're like, let's get you on. So we can, you know.
Because like. I instinctively thought, oh, Huge is going to have serious, like, clever energy. Mm. I think just anyone who plays an instrument, I think an instrument does the same thing that glasses does, which is just make someone seem more intelligent. Yeah. Because you've got to have something, especially piano as well. That is a thinking man's instrument.
There's something in your brain that is able to pick that up and do that, and that is...
Musicians are thick as pictures.
If you were a comedy drummer rather than a comedy keyboard, I mean, there's not a lot of comedy drummers, are there? But then I would think, okay, maybe not that clever. But keyboard, that's a clever instrument.
Yeah,
I guess so. It's honestly like, you know, like a Rubik's Cube. Like, I can do a Rubik's Cube in like under 3 minutes. It doesn't make you smart.
It doesn't make you smart.
You can just...
You watch any film where they're trying to portray a smart character, they're playing a piano while doing a Rubik's Cube. And you can do both.
I'm breaking hearts today. Do you know what the week they pre-write the jokes and stuff. It's a shame.
If you can play the keyboard and do a Rubik's Cube, you're definitely smarter than someone who can't do those things, I'd say, probably. As a rule of thumb. Can't do either.
No, neither.
Can't do either.
Neither. For piano, you just got to have parents that can hit you hard enough. You know? Really, honestly, it's just that, like, I did it out of fear. My mum used to hit me with a spoon. And if I didn't play piano good enough, she'd hit me with a spoon.
Wouldn't metal. My next question, if it was metal,
it bruises. The metal bruises.
Yeah, I bet it does.
Metal, wooden spoon, you can very safely hit a child with, and nothing will show up.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Go on. Let's see how you do this one.
Let's stop the line of questioning. Huge. We like to ask our guests the most interesting fact they know.
Mm.
Do you have one for us?
This blew my mind. Do you know why? Do you know why it's called the Bakerloo line?
No.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh, but you try and think of it.
Sorry, Lee Peart told us this in the last episode. That's what I'm saying. Just I wasn't okay. Trying to show it.
Well, this is more of a competition of who pays attention during their own podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on then. I don't know.
It's Baker Street to Waterloo.
I don't remember that at all. Is it really?
In the podcast.
Yeah, but it's like every other tube line has a name that makes sense. They're real names. They're like Jubilee and Central and Northern. But then Bakerloo's just not even a word.
Baker Street to Waterloo.
They just made up a word for it.
Yeah,
they just went, it's going, you know.
That's lovely.
At least we know now for the rest of the podcast, Jake.
Yeah.
We'll be listening. Well, no idea.
But I can't believe I didn't get that. can't believe I didn't get that. You're sitting there all day looking at nothing on the tube. You're watching depressed men go to work, and then at no point you're like, why am I on a line that doesn't even make
it's not,
any
that's
sense?
Not a word, It is a great fact, though. And actually, it wasn't Lee's fact. I think it just came up in the episode. So that is a brilliant fact.
That is a nice fact.
And then finally, before we get into the quiz, do you have a team name for us? Do you have a usual team name you
goodness.
Go for?
Oh, my goodness. I'll take King's College, Cambridge.
King's College, Cambridge. Yeah, that's lovely. That's
King's
lovely.
College, Cambridge.
So, huge. Each week we get sent a real pub quiz sent in from a real quizmaster. We don't know who it's going to be. Our producers have received the quiz. It's all very exciting.
Yeah.
With this huge guest, we've gone huge with our quiz. We've gone international. This quizmaster is called Jonathan. He's based in the Cayman Islands.
Wow.
Wow.
Where is the Cayman Islands?
I don't know, but what I do know is that I think it is a tax haven.
He is cooking the books, sure.
So he's cooking the books. Okay. He's basically doing probably one quiz a week, but it's somehow making a quarter of a mil a week. I don't know how he's doing it.
Yeah, each table got
But Jonathan, we've got your number straight away.
50k entry fee.
He's swigging brandy, he's got a cigar.
Yeah. As soon as I said that, I read the next line. He does a monthly quiz for the Humane Society.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh, he's a good person. We don't have a specific... he said he doesn't have a specific time, but if you find yourselves in the Cayman Islands, I'm sure you can seek it out.
Mm.
Again, doesn't sound like a real quiz. Does sound like something that he just sort of says
he's
does.
He's got to find a way to balance off the guilt, isn't it?
Because he's laundering a lot of money.
Running sweatshops in places and laundering money and not paying taxes. Humane Society. You probably don't even do it for the Humane Society.
So, Jonathan, thanks for sending your quiz. We're going to kick off with round one, which is called Stating the Obvious.
I imagine it's the least obvious things of all time, but there we are.
So, stating the obvious, we've got five questions, three rounds. Something we'd like to try and do is to get at least on one of them a 5 out of 5.
Sure.
It's a very elite club that we like
to... It was elite for a while, and then a lot of guests have got it now. So
yeah, Dan Tiernan got it, and the floodgates just opened.
Well, the first one should be quite... It should be the best chance, right? The first opening.
Yeah, try and hook us in a bit, yeah.
So, question number one, which country was the first to get its flag on the moon?
America.
Gotta be.
USA, yeah.
Gotta be.
You're saying it's stating the obvious. Do you think that's a red herring to sort of throw you off of, like, actually, you think it's the obvious answer, you go, USA, but is this...
It's because we're talking about a man who launders money for a living.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know what Jonathan's thinking.
Maybe he got there first and covered it up.
Because there might have been a flag on a like a satellite that went up.
Yeah, it was obviously USA because it was the first moon landing, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the Russians might have sent like a Sputnik or something onto there.
Yeah,
or,
but ET man, ET. I think
we're going to find out a lot about Jonathan when it comes to the answers. If it is just straightforward, like it is
United States of America.
It's a bit like
maybe it's like a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, I think it was like Cosmo the dog that got there first.
Yeah.
The Russians sent in Cosmo first.
Yeah.
You know. If his answer is, well, no one's actually been to the moon. It was all fake. Yeah. Oh, Jonathan, mate, have a day off.
Question two, what year did Paul McCartney die?
Here we go. Yeah. Question number two, what's the maximum possible break in snooker? Liam, you've been playing a bit of snooker, haven't you?
Yeah, I play snooker with, Dirk and Ski.
The sketch guys on Instagram.
Yeah, the sketch guys, really funny. Yeah, one half of that, Phil, Ski. And the maximum possible break is a 147.
Wow. Well,
write that down then, man.
And that is a, if you put, do you know how snooker works?
I don't, but I don't know if I want to get into it too intense.
It's not,
No, I'm kidding.
No, please explain that.
You just got to pop red colour until all the reds are gone, and then pop the remaining colours in order. So the maximum, the highest scoring colour is black, and that's a 7, so you pop... red, and then a black, red, black, red, black, red, black, and it's like...
Do you know what? You've done that really concisely, to be fair
to you.
Good,
thank
you. Yeah, it's really nice.
I watched a YouTube video on it, wasn't sure it was like 5 minutes long, you smashed that.
Yeah, thank you. All it is. Pop red, black, and then all the colours remaining. Also, there's a song about it by Chaz and Dave.
Sorry.
Pop the red and screw back for the yellow, green, brown, blue, pink and black, snooker, loopy, nuts, all week. You know that one?
So
Chaz and Dave doesn't do a single song about love. Every single person.
They did do
every single person's about heartbreak. Yeah. It's like so personal. Like, shut up! I don't want to hear about your fucking love life. Yeah. Chaz and Dave, you know.
They did do
another one. Do snooker, rabbits, and cleaning windows.
Yeah.
I think we should.
Rabbit is just about a woman who's talking, girlfriend talking too much, isn't it?
How to get rid of a jobby in your house?
Yeah.
Chaz and Dave. It's just proper two
middle-aged blokes. Fact, they're probably the most honest blokes. You know what I mean? They're having personal lives out of it. They're going, right, wish the missus would shut up and we want to get down to snooker hall.
Oh, Chaz and Dave.
Yeah.
So, 147, I don't think that's stating the obvious, to be honest with you, Jonathan.
I think that's a difficult question for anyone that doesn't play snooker.
Also, can I just say a little fun fact? Yeah. Ronnie O'Sullivan, you know, like best snooker player.
Sure.
Yeah. There's always in tournaments, there's a prize fund for getting the highest rate. If anyone gets a 147, you win. Like, and in some tournaments, it's like 20 grand just for getting it as like a bit of a bonus prize fund.
Bloody hell.
Ronnie O'Sullivan was playing this tournament and he put red, black, all the way through down to, he just needed the last ball to pot to get a 147. And it was like a simple pot, you could do it. And he turned to the referee and went, what's the prize fund for getting a 147? And the guy was like, oh, I don't know, I'll go and check. Went and checked, came back and went, it's $5,000. Ronnie O'Sullivan went, yeah, not worth it, and just missed it on purpose.
That's crazy.
What a knob.
That's crazy.
Do you not think that's a bit rock and roll? I know.
That's my version
of rock and roll.
That is rock and roll.
That is rock and roll.
but it's
like Metallica. I like Ronnie.
You could be a knob and be rock and roll, but I just think like,
I think he was just a bit fun. I think he was just being a bit funny. Just like there's an audience there, there's a crowd, and he was like,
not worth
it's hard
it.
In snooker to get something funny. You know, it's like it's like all the combination of things that happen in snooker. There's basically nothing. That can
he sees an opening for a gag in the Crucible and thought, you have got to take it.
It's a good gag.
Not worth it. Question number three. What type of animal is a horny toad? All right, Jonathan, you're showing yourself up a little bit here, mate. I don't know what type of animal it is.
Well, you'd assume
a
frog, wouldn't you? If it's stating the obvious.
Well, if it's a toad, well, maybe it's
a toad. If it's stating the obvious, yeah.
But
if it's amphibian, is that rude? Is that a rude thing to say?
I don't think they'll be offended, but I
don't think they'd accept amphibian.
It's
what
frog,
type of animal?
What type of animal is a horny toad? Well, stating the obvious, toad. I wonder what he might do here. Five questions, stating the obvious. I think one of them will be a trick question.
Right.
And he's going to lull us into going, okay, obvious. Go with an obvious one.
I think this could be something like toad.
I'm starting to think I think that they're all red herrings. I really do.
Well, maximum possible ranking snooker is definitely 147.
I'm going to say, I think it's a frog.
Should we just say...
I think they're all trick questions, I really do.
No.
Do you think it's one of those things where it's like, what do you call a female pilot? It's like, it's a pilot. And it's like, what do you call a horny toad? It's just a toad, isn't it? It's just horny.
That's good. It could
do you know
be.
What I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that line of thinking.
Yeah, I'm with that. Yeah. Should we just put... What should we go for then?
Yeah, should we say toad?
Because I'm not a misogynist.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we've written toad.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite good.
That's really nice.
And if it's not true, you... Basically, written Jonathan a great gag there to use next time he's doing his quiz in the.
As long as I'm not perceived as misogynist, I can kill her. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
What was really beautiful there for, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll have seen it, but if you're listening, you wouldn't have done. Huge is often seen as quite deadpan, but there's a really earnest smile that came with both of those gags afterwards. There was just pure joy in his eyes.
Yeah.
Question number four: in which country did French fries originate?
Okay, I think that's got to be America.
I don't know.
Obviously, he wants us to say France.
Does he though? Because we're just saying.
But the thing is, though, French fries are only called French fries in the USA.
I don't think any other quiz master's done this, but Jonathan's got in our heads.
He's really got us second guessing ourselves.
He's got my head, so I'm going to spark Jonathan out.
Yeah, we're going to Cayman Islands.
If I went to this pub, I'd spark him.
Boys, we're off to the Cayman Islands.
I walk up to him and go, I know you're a plan boy. I don't want to look stupid in front of you.
Just a bloke trying to raise a bit of money for the Humane Society.
I'd not in front of the landlord.
How humane was that, you fucking prick?
Yeah. It's like, it's America. Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Question number five.
What are we answering? Question four.
We're just speaking French, aren't we?
Are we?
I've just written fries. we're right in France, aren't we?
I think it's France. I think he's trying to trick us. Or Belgium. It could be Belgium. Do you know what I mean?
You just thrown Belgium into the mix. We had a nice binary thing going on in France or America. She was just coming with Belgium.
All they've got is Poirot and chips, man. It's very clear when you go there, they've got Belgium in.
Mate, now you sound like Belgium's at an afters, mate. I've got is Poirot and chips. That's literally, what am I doing?
Belgium at an afters.
Poirot and Tintin rule the country. And then for lunch, rubbing fruits. With mayonnaise, nothing else. You can't have
yeah, we got, yeah, we've got chocolates. Yeah. We've got some chocolates too.
Yeah, mayo. Yeah, mayo. You
do you know what? In these situations, I think the guest gets final say. Yeah,
I'll say France.
Okay. I thought you
or Belgium. No, Belgium. Belgium. Let's go crazy.
Let's go Belgium. Fuck it. We're not getting 5 out of 5 on this one. This is not the one. Question number 5. In which state do the New York Giants play their home games? I think New York Giants probably play their stuff in New Jersey.
Why?
Just because we're trying to, like, oh, I don't know, stating the obvious
He's
thing.
He's in our heads. He's in our heads big time.
I think this is quite hard. Either this is a pub quiz for a 4-year-old, or it's for adults, and this guy's being sneaky.
I think there's another state near New York which it might be in. Rhode Island?
Is that a state?
I think it's Rhode Island's a state. Okay. I think, I don't know.
I'm passing this over to you guys. I feel like I think it might be New Jersey.
I'm going to do New Jersey.
Okay.
New Jersey. Fucking hell. I'm going to be honest.
I'm actually interested
you.
In these answers.
I'm really intrigued.
I'll be honest, this is one of the first times I'm not sure I can say I've actually enjoyed that round. Company was good, but the questions just fucked with my head, man. I just didn't know where I was coming to go.
I went on a date with someone and did a pub quiz. Well, it was like we were at the pub and we just found out there was a pub quiz at the pub. And then we were just like, this is enter because it'd be a laugh. And we did come last.
Yeah.
But I was smarter than I thought I was. It was a bit like Slumdog Millionaire, except I wasn't getting beaten in the head. Do you know what I mean?
No, that was just your piano lessons.
Yeah, it was a bit like, how will I know? She was like, how do you know all these answers? And I was like...
When we had the idea for the pod, I was trying to say to like Liam and our producers, I was like, guys, every question you get a Slumdog Millionaire moment, and everyone was just like, it's not a thing. It is a thing, isn't it? The Slumdog Millionaire moment. That's a thing.
Yeah, what like every fact you like, I learned that when I was...
Oh my gosh, I knew this because when I was... Because
when I was trapped in a train in New Delhi.
Exactly!
When I was like in a... When I was trapped in a toilet. When I had to hide in a toilet.
He was just trapped
in
a lot of stuff, actually. That's what just kept happening. This time I was trapped in a lift. Trapped in a toilet. Trapped on a train. Where else was I trapped? Trapped in my mum's back bedroom. Yeah. Right, okay. So, obviously, I think we can all agree, a challenging first round. Jonathan's got into our heads early doors.
Which I really admire. No quizmaster's done that before.
Yeah, no. He's an evil genius.
Yeah.
Let's see how we've done. Okay, so question number 1. Which country was the first to get its flag on the moon? We went with the USA. The answer is the USSR.
Do you mean they shot it from the USSR? they shot it out of a gun and then landed on the...
They got their flag on the moon.
Is there any description behind...
This is a conspiracy theory.
I'd love for him to... He knows he's...
Do you want to get my phone out?
He knows he's tricking everyone. Yeah,
you can get your phone out, For the answers. Once we've got the answers. No, this is the thing with Jonathan. He doesn't give any explanation. Not to us, not to the tax man, no one.
Can you imagine the uproar in the pub when this happened?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but he's...
Everyone's murmuring, he's going, it's already reading out answer two.
Turmoil. It's absolute turmoil in the Cayman Islands.
Okay, so... The USSR flag was present on the moon in 2 ways. A Soviet probe crashed carrying the Soviet flag. So they crashed on it and they just... it's sort of on there technically, isn't it? Yeah.
She was just picking sides.
They crashed on it. That's so funny. Oh, the flag's on there. It's like, but everyone's dead, bro. Everyone's dead.
Ooh, what a triumph.
I don't think it was a manned... flight.
There's just 4 corpses on the moon.
One dog in there floating about.
Floating around on the moon.
Yeah, and then what's the other way that it's on the moon?
And the Apollo 11 mission carried a Soviet flag amongst other national flags, which later returned to the world.
All the flags are up there.
It crashed and it was just like that.
Bit of bunting, that's up there.
little UK flags for Brexit. Tiny ones, can barely see them.
Question number 2. The maximum possible break for in snooker. Liam, you were confident. You were very sure. You've played snooker with a guy called Ski. I've actually met a guy in a pub, so I would say I've pretty much got this locked down. You said 147. The answer is 155.
That was crazy how confident you were about that. I didn't even...
That was mad how confident you were. You've never been so confident about anything in your life.
Well, that's not... There's something sneaky.
That's playground.
Huge.
There's maybe a foul where... But that's not a maximum break. A break is just what you've got from arriving at the table...
Jonathan,
but he's a 147.
I'm going to say, as someone who hosts quizzes, this is the last round you ever want to host because you're just going to get middle-aged men coming up to you being like...
Research, maximum break.
The break is commonly referred to as a 147 because it totals to 147 points. In snooker, the highest possible break is 155, not 147.
Ooh.
This can be achieved in very specific circumstances, namely when a player is awarded a free ball after a foul, pots that free ball... as an extra red, then pots the black, then completes a 147 maximum break. So,
sorry, Liam, but I've never seen you look so defeated.
I would say, for the first round, what's the round called?
State the obvious.
That's not stating the obvious.
Yeah, no. that's not stating the obvious at all. Yeah.
No, but obviously, guys, stating the obvious, it does not mean, we're now obviously learning, it's not, it's obvious that you're not meant to state the obvious. We've been writing the obvious answer, we need to be thinking carefully. It's the opposite of Occam's razor.
Okay. Yeah. So with that in mind, going forward.
What type of animal is a horny toad? What did we put? Toad, because we're fucking thick. It's a lizard, obviously.
I should have put amphibian, that would have been right.
That still would have been wrong, Huge.
Oh, fuck.
It would have been a reptile.
Yeah, right, fucking hell.
Dude, you came on saying you were going to be thick, and I really talked you up, and I said, this guy's got really clever energy. You've been bloody thick the whole time.
They're all the same, aren't they? Praying for a Rubik's Cube.
Fucking hell, toads, lizards, what's next? They're all the bloody same.
All these fucking nerds coming back. Oh, actually, that's not a lizard. It is a fucking lizard.
In what country did French fries originate? Huge put Belgium. Huge. It's Belgium! Get in!
Immediately redeem myself. That's incredible.
Huge! Well, you're the only person to get a fucking answer right on this quiz so far.
They're so proud about the chips.
Yeah.
They're really, honestly, as soon as you walk in, there's like a massive Tintin up there. And you get, and then it's just like 12 guys selling you French fries in the street.
Question number five. We were asked, in which state do the New York Giants play their home games? I think we at this point clocked on that maybe we don't want to state the obvious, so we just went with New Jersey. It's New Jersey.
Well done, Jake. Well done.
Thanks, but I wouldn't say I knew that in the same way that Huge knew about Belgium.
I know, you still got it.
I didn't know about Belgium. I just said I think they know in Belgium because people are either going to write France or USA, right?
Yeah.
Two out of five.
The next one's called Difficult Questions. Maybe they're really easy.
Yeah. I hope it is. That was he really got in. We've never had a round like that, I don't think.
No, it really got in our heads. Looking back on it, now that it's over and like both Art's cheeks have unclenched, I feel like I can look back and think, you know what, it was a challenge.
I feel like a bit of a prick about the snooker question. I feel like an idiot.
You came across as one, I'd say, yeah.
And also, you know what I feel an extra twat about? Giving the extra anecdote on it.
Yeah,
the extra Ronnie O'Sullivan thing.
The panic when... when it was wrong, and then you started to explain how it was bad, and then I interrupted with the actual, and then with the fact on Google. You know what I mean? That was.
In your mind, you must have been thinking if that's wrong, maybe the Ronnie O'Sullivan's thing wrong. Oh shit! No,
we're now about 25 episodes in, and that was the most confident I'd ever been on
anything ever.
I sat back.
You said, "Do you want an anecdote on that?"
Shit!
Extra bit.
I've got that right. I've never been. Which is actually cut into the time we'd normally use to answer it. So. Let's get an anecdote in there as well.
What a bell.
No, mate, it's good to be confident about stuff.
No.
It's good to be.
Should we go on to round two? Should we move on?
Go on, what's round two, Liam?
Round two is the connections round.
No, what's this going to be about, then?
I just don't trust Jonathan now, so the connections round. So I imagine it's a classic where there's something at the end which combines all of them. And we've got to work that out. So question one. Which movie starring Burt Reynolds starts in Connecticut, ends in California, and was won by Marcy?
Maybe it's like Boogie Nights or something.
Was Burt Reynolds in Boogie Nights?
I don't know if he technically starred. Mark Wahlberg stars in it, but he's like, I don't know if he...
So just go back to the question. Which movie stars Burt Reynolds?
But Burt Reynolds is like the second person in that movie. He's like his mentor, but he's in like...
He's in it.
He's in it as much as Marky Mark. It's like a two-hander movie where he's his agent and they like conquer the porn industry together.
If they're conquering the porn industry, it's going to end in California, surely.
Well, that's the thing is like I can't remember where they start the movie, but I know they finish up in like LA. I think that they're trying to trick us by saying
the film was won by Marcy. I'm struggling with that. I mean, Boogie Nights is a great answer. Let's go Boogie Nights.
I can't be...
The journey of the characters from Connecticut to California sort of rings a bell. Marcy, I don't know what that is about.
Question two. What breed of dog is Jock in Disney's Lady and the Tramp?
That's the tramp one, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Wait, that's a good question. Do we think Jock is the main dog?
I don't think he would be, would he? Because like the tramp is meant to be...
What ethnicity is the Siamese cat? Yeah. Hard to tell. It's a difficult accent to pin down.
I don't think that Tramp. No, Tramp was called Tramp, right? You wouldn't. Jock must have been a character. You'd call it Jock.
I think Jock is like the best friend character.
I think Jock is like the guy that she might have gone for, and he's like a really muscly, sexy dog with a big.
This is really hard. This
can quiz. I'll just stretch back to a really old bit of knowledge I've got here.
Yeah.
An old neighbour of mine growing up.
He plays snooker.
Got a 147.
Got 155. Oh shit, that's where I knew that from.
They used to have a little dog called Jock.
Mm.
And that dog was a Westie. You know, like the little white fluffy ones.
And it's very common for people to name their
dogs after someone in a film. So that is the only thing I can go on.
That is brilliant.
That's totally wrong.
Put it down immediately.
So a Westie. And I don't even...
Can I just say, I hate people when people name their dogs after, like, you know, like Chewy. You know, people who call their dogs like Chewy after Chewbacca. It's like, your dog isn't the same as Chewbacca. No matter how much you try, your dog is going to be nothing like Chewbacca. Chewbacca doesn't poo on the floor.
Yeah.
Where does Chewbacca poo?
Does he go in the bog?
None of them ever goes to the toilet in that film.
I've just got a vision
sort
of,
that's the sort of person I hate when they're like, actually in Star Wars none of them actually go to the toilet. What's that about? It's not realistic.
You know, it's not actually good. They would have needed a wee in that.
Shut up.
This is huge on a first date. You like dogs? What's your dog? Chewy. Your dog will never be like Chewbacca. Yeah. Chewbacca is a specific character, specific to Star Wars, and your dog will never be
like
it. Why
don't you create some new friends? Star Wars.
I was not named.
You've never seen. How have you never seen Star Wars?
Create your own friendship group. Stop trying to pinch them from Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know.
You're nothing like Jar Jar Binks. You never will be.
Jar Jar Binks, the dog. Well, that's someone that you avoid. What's your bunker? It's called Jar Jar Binks. God, if I go to your house, what's your house like? You know, like if I go after a coffee. Like, what's your the guy? He's such a big fan
what's
of Jar Jar.
What's the rest
Binks.
Of your life
yeah,
like?
Yeah. Yeah. But you're like, oh, got one chance to name something.
You've got
that's what I'm going to do when I'm older. When I have like a kid, so no one goes around my house. I'll be like, what's your name? Your kid? I'm like, it's Diglett. But like. Diglett Davies, actually. Diglett Davies. I don't actually.
We're having another one. Jigglypuff. Yeah.
Jigglypuff. Triplets, dog trio.
So the youngest is Charmander. What's Charmeleon? Yeah. Oldest one's Charizard. Yeah.
Charmeleon, Charmander, Charmeleon, Benjamin Netanyahu. It's classic, you know? It's the way it works. Lovely gals, all three of them. Lovely gals.
Question number three.
What was the name given to the political boundary largely between NATO and Warsaw Pact countries during the Cold War?
They want us to say the Iron Curtain, do they?
What? Ah!
Is that what they want us to say?
What name was given to the political boundary? That is absolutely spot on.
What is it?
Iron Curtain.
Wow.
But
that's
is it?
Great knowledge.
Is it what they want us to say?
Okay. It is. No, it is that.
I think we need to get out of our heads that first one.
Yeah, stating the obvious is gone.
Yeah, stating the obvious.
That trickery show.
But it's the opposite of what it was. So, what's this one called? It's called the Connections Round. Well, they're all disconnected, obviously.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't know who I am anymore.
Yeah.
This has fucking sent me into a state of psychosis.
Fucking Darren Brown sent me quizzing.
That's the thing with Darren Brown. It's like the only thing worse than being selected for Darren Brown is not being selected. Because all the contestants, they always get like an email being like, you weren't selected for it.
And then it's actually them.
Those people that don't get it, and then it's suddenly like, their lives go crazy. It's like, you must think it's a little bit of, you must have thought it might be Darren Brown.
Yeah, Darren Brown.
I applied for 8 months ago. Do you think it's weird that everyone's zombies now?
Yeah.
That could be connected.
Did you see that one when he convinced someone to murder someone?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen that one.
And as soon as like they do the murder, this whole series of events leads up to a murder. As soon as they do the murder, Darren Brown comes out, camera crew, hey, we've got you. But that person went through them real emotions and believed that they'd killed someone.
Yeah.
And after that sort of like, hey, that's a wrap, they've got to go home and live with that.
Mm. He's killed someone more than Tom Cruise stopping someone killing someone in Minority Report.
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
How crazy is that?
Just so you know, Liam's seen four films. That won't be one of them.
Okay,
just
cool.
So you know. Yeah.
So this is Minority Report. Minority Report is basically like they can see into the future via like these like psychics. Mm-hmm. And they stop crime right before it's happened. And they arrest them for like murder. So they actually fulfill their punishment out. And it's like, the argument is like, if you don't commit the crime, can you serve the sentence? In this one, it's like he followed through and actually tried to kill them.
Yeah.
He attempted murder and then just was sent home.
Yeah.
Which is more than the
guys,
people
But what if the feeling never goes like, no, I really do want to kill that
guy. That's really true. Like this person did as good as they believe they killed someone.
I could arrest that. I think that person could have been arrested. That's attempted murder.
Do you not just think it's just reckless vote from Darren Brown? Like when he convinced someone the world was ending.
Yeah, but I'm glad he made it because I like watching it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
That's that ended.
Fair enough.
That's the end. I like watching it and I couldn't care less about that, man.
Nice.
what a fucking
it's
stupid.
It's just me and Jonathan, the fucking
what a stupid
humanists here trying to kill the world. Question four. What does Gene Wilder wear that is orange in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, black in young Frankenstein, and elongated in another you.
Is it a hat?
I think it's a hat. I think the only one of them I've seen is Willy Wonka, and I'm sure it's an orange hat.
It wasn't elongated hat,
long, just long.
Okay, God, fuck it. When Jonathan's around, you do question everything.
Yeah, he's fucked us with that first round.
Right, hat. And then finally?
What connects the previous four answers?
So we've got...
What are we confident on? Iron Curtain.
Iron Curtain, I think, is great. Westy. Sorry, mate.
Westy, we're not confident on. Don't bring
Boogie
that into
Nights
this.
And hat.
I think Boogie Nights relatively confident on a hat.
They're all things that exist on this in this like realm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're all this universe.
True enough.
Should we go? Is it realm based? Is it a realm based connection?
Is it all within the realm?
Is it dimension based?
Do you reckon it'd be something like it's all these things are like in this pub?
What the fuck is it? I know what it is.
Wow.
I think I know what it is. Monopoly tokens. Because you've got a hat,
an iron,
and then
a Westie is a dog. Yeah, the dog.
It's a little dog.
You get the dog piece.
Which might mean that...
That Boogie Nights might not be an
Boogie
answer.
Boogie Nights might not be the answer.
What's the other one? There's
Is that mental? Is that a good answer?
I don't know. That's a really good answer. Yeah.
And is there a top hat? Is there a hat, though, in Monopoly?
Yeah, top hat. What other things are there?
Ship, thimble.
Car. Well, Burt Reynolds must be in a car film, I feel.
Hang on, wait. Is Westie the same dog? Is that the breed of dog that
you're
is?
Right, no,
you're,
is actually.
You're
I think
100%
it is.
Monopoly. It's Monopoly.
So Monopoly pieces.
So a hat, an iron, a Westie. Is it a Westie or is it Yorkshire Terrier? Westie. It's a little dog anyway. Either way, it's a dog. So right, so all we need to do is crack question number one to fit with this Monopoly link. Movie starring Burt Reynolds. Starts in Connecticut, ends in California, was won by Marcy. Are the Monopoly pieces? There's a thimble, but I can't imagine there's a film with the word thimble in it.
He stars in Thimbelina.
That's good. I like that.
But yeah, it's all right. It's fine, isn't it? But I can't remember a car film that he's in that's like an iconic movie. It would have been one of his like smaller movies.
What other industries is it?
I also think that the pub this would have been in are full of people who are like a bit older maybe.
Right. Let's at least give ourselves a chance with the Monopoly thing, right?
Yeah, go on.
I'll just go with a race car.
Okay. Let's do the answers. Which movie starring Burt Reynolds starts in Connecticut, ends in California, and was won by Marcy? The answer is Cannonball Run.
Do you know that film?
Never heard of it. Nick Helm would have known that. Nick Helm has
really?
Nick Helm has in every single film under the sun. Like I got like he has so much knowledge about films, it's crazy. And like some films that you respect, he'd be like, that's not good. You've got to check out these four other films.
Wow.
Like, yeah, he's really good.
He's going to hate me.
Good, number two?
What breed of dog is...
Well, is there a canon?
Monopoly I think piece. There is, yeah.
Yeah, there
yeah,
is a
yeah.
canon.
What breed of dog is Jock in Lady and the Tramp? It's a Scotty dog, which I'm sure is... That's what I was thinking
I think
of.
That's a West... I think that is a Westie. I don't know.
Can we get the producer to have a little look?
Is a Westie the same as a Scotty?
It's a little white, fluffy dog.
Don't call him that. He's a... Valley member of staff.
He's a man.
Different dog.
Can I see an image?
What? Hang on a minute. He just told you it's a different
dog. That's what I was thinking of.
That's a Western. Yeah, but they are similar.
It is closer to that one. It is closer
different
to that
dogs.
One.
So similar, but...
carry on with the story, though, about it.
Fucked it. Yeah.
That's two for two. You had two rounds.
Awesome. It was question
with
two.
With the most confident... Right, let's look at the question number two in the final round.
Die.
Right, what's the answer number three? I think Hughes got this, right?
The political boundary between NATO and Warsaw. It's Iron Curtain. Well done.
Perfect, mate. Great answer.
And then what does Gene Wilder wear that is orange? It's the top hat.
Great.
And finally, what connects before? Jake.
Come on.
Yeah, that's really good stuff.
Honestly, I've never been more happy about it. Yeah.
Well,
and also, didn't pair it with an anecdote either.
Well done, it's Monopoly pieces.
Get in! See you later!
No one wants to hear your anecdote about Monopoly.
It's really
great. I did Monopoly and went on a long time. That's the Monopoly. Yeah. That's the anecdote. Well,
went on so long and then relative got annoyed, flipped the board, done.
Yeah.
So wow. That's a bit of an advancement on our previous score of two. So we're up to 3 out of 5 there.
Can we have a rest?
Let's have a little rest.
Let's have a rest.
Right, let's have a break. The quiz is getting a little bit too intense. Let's just talk about Hughes' life and just calm down a little bit. Not that your life isn't exciting and it's not going to make us calm down. That was a wrong turn of phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I'm actually driving a bus that's got a bomb in it.
Oh, my God!
If I stop the bus, it'll blow up.
So that's another film.
I know, that's Speed. I've seen it.
You've seen that one?
Speed.
Sorry,
Speed.
Of the five films you've seen.
Yeah, I've seen Speed. I know that one.
Hughes, you've just finished a big tour. Album for My Ancestors.
Yeah.
Brackets Dead.
Thank you for including Brackets Dead. And does it say on there that it's a four, not FOR, like the number four. Does it say that?
It doesn't say that, no.
It's
no,
very
no,
important no, to the brand that it's... well, it was.
Well, why don't you explain to us? Album four, the number, yeah. My Ancestors, Brackets Dead.
For the kids. Kids connect more with numbers than they do words.
Nowadays, yeah.
Can you just imagine it as a four and then be like, actually, I would go see that.
Yeah.
Album four, My Ancestors, Brackets Dead, I wouldn't see that.
A bit like spelling later, L-8-E-R.
Oh, yeah, for yeah, sure, yeah.
Kids love that shit.
Toys R Us, how did it fail?
Yeah.
How did it fail with that R backwards?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Kids some of the children shit. Going, oh, my God, let's go in there.
Yeah. What was the tour about?
It was a show about songs that I was performing that had been passed down maybe my friends and ancestors, mm-hmm. Family and ancestors, and it was, you know, Batman.
Like the Disney film Coco.
Yeah, a bit like Coco, but if Coco, his ancestor was Batman or something, or Diggler.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Or like all six of the friends, they relate to them. Who else? There's a bunch of them, different. I just have forgotten everyone that I was related to in the show. Not that it was made up or anything. it was just a bunch of different songs. I said that basically so I could just write anything I wanted to, because often in a show you have to work within constraints of something, like yeah. If you think of something really good but the show is called like I don't know like my about struggle or something, but you think of something that's really like it's hard to put
the shows
like
have anecdote. To be about something
normally yeah. Not all the time, like if you're like a really good comedian, mm-hmm. you can just make about nothing and you'll be fine,
sure,
but like a lot of comedians, because it's hard to like turn over a show every single year where it's like 100% all bangers, mm-hmm. I do think that if you're doing it every single year you kind of have to like if you find a theme it's easier to write to.
I was going to ask that, like do a lot of comedians, do they get a theme and write about, or do they just get their material out and go like, what can I put as the sort of through running thread throughout all of this?
Well, I guess every comedian's different. I mean, some people find it easier to like write about something that's happened to themselves. Like I know a lot of people that talk about their actual lives, so like if something big happens in that year, they'll just write about that and have very full life. But if you're like me, in which nothing happens in my life, you have to dig a bit. You have to be like, right, I have to write about something that's like not something that's happened to me.
How many years have you been in this routine of like putting a whole show together, taking it around?
I've only written three shows, mm-hmm. but like I do a lot of stuff in between. I did stuff before that, but like I think it's exhausting to write an hour show every single year. I don't think you should be doing that. I don't think we should be doing that.
Was music always part of your stand up?
Right from the beginning, yeah.
Is it the same? Because I met David O'Doherty the other day, and he said that it's he got the same mini kids Casio keyboard that he had when he was basically 12 years old. That he's still got. Is it that because you've got that it's quite iconic now, the big strap with a massive keyboard around you.
Yeah.
Have you had that, like, when did you get that? How long have you had that?
Oh, quite a long time. Like, it's probably been like 7 years. I'd take that to every gig I do. But
it's massive. Is it like...
Me and David once met for a drink after a show, then I had to bring my stuff and he had to bring his stuff to the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
And my stuff is like, you know, it's just like a massive, great whopper. It weighs as much as a dead boy. Yeah. He bought his stuff. It's a Sainsbury's shopping bag. You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing.
It's nothing.
He just threw it on the floor. Yeah. Threw it on the floor with no respect. You know, it is annoying to see him carry
it. It's amazing. I've been lucky enough to, like, work
in his... He can take that abroad. He can put that in his rucksack. It's crazy. His little keyboard. He throws it away. He just chucks it on the floor.
It is incredible.
If I chuck myself on the floor, I wouldn't have a career. Do you know what I mean? That's crazy.
Well, I don't know, Hughes. Just has it helped your posture massively, having a keyboard around your neck? You have to really...
You must have really strong shoulders.
If I do Edinburgh Run, like, and I wear the keyboard minimum an hour a day, and then plus I probably do an extra show like in the evening or something like that, it can be like... It can quite badly hurt me.
Well, at like the end your of the, neck, pull on
yeah,
your neck.
Yeah, yeah, like, because it's like... Heavy. It's really heavy. Like, sometimes people are like, can I see what that's like? And then I put it on, they're like, fuck. It's really heavy.
And then not just is it heavy, you're then putting pressure on it by playing
How
it.
How hard do you think he's pressing the keys? Come on!
No, but it's going to add a bit, isn't it? Like,
Are you back in Edinburgh this year?
Yeah, I am, yeah. I'm doing a work in progress.
Every day?
Every day I'm doing a new... I'm trying to do a new hour every day.
There's a rumour going around that it's for free.
It is for free, yeah. It's
so you can see Hugh Davis for free in Edinburgh every day of the Fringe.
I won't be. I will be asking. I mean, there will be a bucket speech.
You can see Hugh Davis for free. Hugh Davis will pay you to see him in Edinburgh every single day.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, that's great. So it's like,
I love free Fringe. I think it's the way that the Fringe should be.
Yeah.
I think you should pay what you want to pay.
How many have you done?
I've done like 10 or something.
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah. I do. I've gone up there every year for 10. I don't always do a full show. I do work in progresses on and off because I like being up there. Because I'm not ready to do a show right now. But I love
being up there. You just enjoy the sort of atmosphere.
I don't really go on holiday. I just go to the Fringe.
Nice.
And then Edinburgh feels like this weird marathon. When actually it can just like, I gig most days anyway. Why can't it just be like that?
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't have to be like this massive slog where everyone's feeling disgusting.
Go on a run around the meadows.
Yeah.
Lovely, yeah.
I used to live a disgusting lifestyle. I thought it'd be really smart to save money on food. I like Coronation Chicken.
Why have you looked me in the eye when you said that? Hugh Davis has just looked me dead in the eye and said, right, I like Coronation Chicken.
I like Coronation Chicken. I thought it'd be a good idea to like make a big batch of it so that I could just have it every day as a sandwich bread. So I made so much of it, and then by the third day, all my housemates were like, you'll get sick of that. And I was like, there's no way. I never have this sandwich. I'm going to look. The third day, I was like, if I see Coronation Chicken, I'll kill, man. I will kill a man if I have to eat this thing again. I had to eat every day.
Because
everyone was like, you won't do it. So I had Coronation Chicken every day for my lunch for about two and a half weeks.
Have you had it since?
Never.
Never.
Never had it since.
Killed it off.
Awful.
Hugh, where can people find you on socials and then links to your tickets from there?
Hugh Davies. Just if you know what, just Google Hugh Davies. That's enough. If you can't find my Instagram or website, I don't want you to come to the shows. You need to stay home, you need to rethink everything. Yeah.
Don't
like,
listen to Acaster and Gamble. He is big. You just put his name in and he will come up.
Just put in Hugh Davies, Google it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ignore
it. It's a good siphoning off people who don't deserve to be there. They can't find you. Yeah.
Very clear, like on my social media it's so clear how you can get tickets.
If you can't look at the title of this episode and then find his socials from Matt, you're fucking
I don't want you in the show.
Yeah. I don't want you leaving your house in the morning.
You'll be the
sort
of person that interrupts my fucking routine to be like, how do you get into the toilets? You pull the door. You pull the door and you get in.
So round three is called Get Your Mind Out of the Gutter. Fucking hell. Jonathan, you are playing with my mind right now. I don't know what's going to happen here. I imagine he's going to be a bit bawdy, but hopefully the questions will be straightforward. Yeah. We've not really talked about the prospects of joining the 5 out of 5 club. I don't think it's going to happen today with Jonathan.
We've got two and a three. Let's see.
Two and a three. By rights, it'd be nice. A nice target would be four.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
My balls are black and blue. Sorry, I've started the question now. My balls are black and blue. I've just hit them with a mallet. What game am I playing?
Is it croquet?
It's a mallet, isn't it?
It's trying to make us say croquet. Yeah.
I don't think he's tricking us. This is him.
It's trying to make us say
he's
croquet.
He's done that. I've tricked you. He's done that. I've shown you.
He's going to be like, I'm Daniel Craig in Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Is what else are we saying?
What's annoying me with Jonathan? It's a very... It's all about Jonathan, this quiz. You know what I mean? It's all the first round, it's all about how have I tricked you. The second round, it's all about what niche films do I know. And now it's all about what innuendo can I come up with.
Yeah, yeah.
Framed as a question.
He's got a lot of time on his hands, mate. He's retiring, he's swimming in that money.
But the way that this question is, it's like a sphinx. It's like, my balls are blue and black. It's like a riddle.
Do you think he's getting a laugh in the Cayman Islands, this? My balls are black and blue.
He's probably got a lot of locals that come, right, and he starts this round, and they go, honestly, you'll love this one. He does naughty stuff, but it's a bit like a riddle.
I'm imagining sort of like couples in their 60s, they brought other friends along to go, just for this round, you'll enjoy this. This is the one we were telling you about. It'll be something very true.
He does stuff about balls and vaginas.
Something like his balls.
Let's just put croquet. I mean, I don't know what else we can go with, right? I mean,
he wants to say, you know what? Have it.
Do you know what?
Yeah,
you want it. We'll give it you.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this will be
you
less.
You happy, are you?
Yeah.
You happy you've won?
Well done, Jonathan.
Well done, Jonathan.
Question number two. Listen
playing
to
croquet
this.
In the Cayman Islands, are you?
Yeah. It's all right for some, isn't it?
Look, question number two. Listen to this commentary and tell me what port Gland...
That's funny. Yeah.
Listen to this
That's
commentary.
That's a spoonerism.
Listen to this commentary and tell me what sport Pet Glenn is commentating
you
on.
You said which port, Spet Glenn?
Right, Liam, you read this question.
Listen to this commentary and tell me what sport Pat Glenn is commentating on. And this is Gujarat.
Oh, yeah, well, sorry.
Okay,
what is
okay,
this?
Okay.
You know, let's get our guest to read the bloody thing.
I've got it.
Taking three people to read this question.
Listen to this commentary and tell me what sport Pat Glenn is commenting on. And this Georgiovria from Bulgaria. I saw a snatch this morning and it was amazing.
Well done, yeah. Mate. We've really got to the point on this episode.
First time you question me in red, it's got to applaud.
To applaud somebody, to fucking read the question. And you said you weren't smart.
Georgiovria.
I saw her snatch this morning and it was amazing.
That's weightlifting, isn't it?
A snatch.
Yeah. It's weightlifting. He's doing an innuendo about pussy.
Yeah.
Question number three. In which country could I watch young boys play football at the... Okay. What am I going to say, mate? There's innuendo.
Now it shouldn't be innuendo.
No, yeah. That's not innuendo. That's just like, oh, we're having a laugh about a bit of pedo stuff. Yeah,
hang on, finish the question.
In which country would I watch young boys play football at the Wankdorf Stadium?
Oh my god.
Fucking hell, Jonathan.
I think it's Argentina.
I know why he has to live in the Cayman Islands, because he's on a fucking register in Europe, basically.
You see, I feel like I know this, but I've been stung twice.
I think it's Argentina, but I can't be sure. Could young boys play the...
Oh,
no,
I thought they were Dutch.
I think it's Switzerland. But I feel
so... Oh, no, I think it's Swiss as well.
Swiss as well?
I've been so stung by snooker and Scottish.
No, I think the young... I think
just
you're
just
right.
Just don't give us an anecdote about it and we might be better luck.
But I'm pretty sure it's Switzerland.
Let's go really? Switzerland. I feel good.
Why do you think it's Switzerland?
Because young... I know the football team young boys, they play in like European competitions.
You're right. I don't know why I said Argentina. I just think that... I think the fans are very passionate and I immediately think of like Argentina.
Was it Argentina or Uruguay when they won the first World Cup? There was something like 20 suicides straight after the game. That's a true fact.
How would they have died? Like, they just like...
Suicide.
and that's suicide. I know they've done that by suicide as well.
They've
suicide by killing themselves, which is a nightmare.
Again, I don't know how I've done it, but I've been coerced into giving a fucking anecdote for a question I'm going to get. Again.
Question number four: Big Knob Waterhole, Muff Creek, and Intercourse Island are in which country? I mean, you probably think it's Argentina.
If it's
slightly passionate.
I see.
Big Knob Waterhole, Muff Creek, and Intercourse Island.
It feels like that's an English-speaking country. Do you know what I
mean? Weirdly, all three of those are off the coast of China.
It's like these are all Chinese islands, man.
It might be English-speaking.
Is this like a translation as Muff Creek?
Probably
Australia or New Zealand.
Creek is something I feel is quite Australian.
Muff Creek.
Yeah. Muff Creek, Big Knob Waterhole.
Intercourse Island. Big Knob is, that's as Australian as it comes.
I think it's Australia.
Yeah.
Right, do you know what huge? We've never done this
before. I reckon
it's
North Korea.
I want you to read the final question, please. Huge.
Okay. Hashtag sus anal bum party was an unchecked tweet sent by whose PR team? It's Susan Boyle.
So this is one of my favourite things that's ever happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Susan really? Boyle. I've never heard this.
They had an album launch, right? To promote her album, the hashtag was meant to be Susan album party. Nice. They wrote it out. It was hashtag Sus anal bum party.
That's funny, isn't it?
That's
a laugh.
That's a laugh for all generations.
Yeah, everyone can have fun with that one.
Even Sue is having a good time.
She's having a good time.
Even Susan's loving that.
It's good publicity.
So, get your mind out the gutter. How do we feel about that round, guys? You think it was
a
little
right,
bit
actually.
Naughty about from Jonathan, wasn't it? He knew what he's doing.
I don't like this Jonathan character. He's listening, isn't he?
He's listening, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like you, man.
Do you know what, Jonathan? Do keep sending quizzes in, though, and thanks for sending this one.
It's not been a bad quiz.
Just hard. I'm just angry because it's hard.
I think we know that we're not...
You waved a 5 out of 5 in front of my face like it was really easy.
Yeah.
We're not going to get 5 out of 5.
We're not going to get 5 out of 5.
What I'd love to get, though, is if we could go 2, then 3, then 4.
Yeah, that'd be
so
nice.
To finish on a 4 would be brilliant.
So
question number 1. My balls are black and blue. I've just hit them with a mallet. We said croquet. The answer was croquet.
Lovely.
Oh, really? Okay, that's it, is it? Jonathan, I'll take it back.
Question number 2. We were asking, huge hat to you, because neither me or Liam could read the question. What sport Pat Glenn was commentating on about something to do with a snatch? Weightlifting. Was the answer. We got it right.
Smashed it.
There's a sense of calm amongst the pub quiz team right now. Question number 3. In which country could you watch the young boys play football at the Wankdorf Stadium? huge, nearly took us to Argentina. Liam pulled it back with Switzerland. It was Switzerland.
Yeah.
I feel like I've redeemed myself there.
Guys, we're 3 for 3. Do you know what? I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to try and fold the paper so I can only read Susan's anal bum party, because yeah. I think we know that's correct. Okay. I'm going to try and leave the suspense, right? So for 4 out of 4, Sue's anal bum party was indeed Susan Boyle. We're 4 for 4.
Ooh, wow.
Which leaves us four.
We didn't see
if this is
coming.
Getting a wry smile out of Hughes Davis, you know it's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, which leaves us with Big Knob, Waterhole, Muff Creek and Intercourse Island are all in which country? We said Australia. The answer was Australia!
Yay! Oh my God.
Absolutely incredible. Huge! We pulled it back, mate!
That is
so satisfying!
That is great.
Fuck you, Jonathan! Thanks for sending the quiz in. Do send another one in. That was brilliant! Absolutely brilliant!
Thank you to Australia for letting down the team in a big way. Every time, you know, you think there are Australians out there that'll be absolutely embarrassed by that. And also Australia, those places will probably be beautiful. Muff Creek will probably be like the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. And then you go there and you're like, probably no one wants to go there because it's like, oh, it's called Muff Creek. I don't want to go to Muff Creek. That sounds like it's like a... It's like a teenager named that.
Jonathan, you've taken us on a journey, man. You really have. I think a small part of me, seeing as he is sort of criminally insane, makes me think that I think he knew what he was doing all along.
I think he even knew we were going to get 5 out of 5 at the end.
I think he wanted that.
I mean, he crafted it all.
Yeah.
You can see why he's such a successful businessman.
Jonathan, do write in and tell us what is all the money you're laundering? How did you earn it in the first place? So, 2 in the first round, 3 in the second round, 5 in the final round.
10 out of 15.
We got into double digits. We got 10 out of 15.
Mate, that's very respectful.
Really happy with that.
I'm really happy with that too.
Considering you're like, you know, thick.
Yeah, I think it's big shit, yeah.
I think it's brilliant.
No, I'm really happy with 10 out of 15. I'm very happy with that. And I'm also not competitive either, so... I wouldn't have minded.
Yeah, you did give the air that you couldn't give a shit, I would say. But in a way that was like, still nice. Not that you didn't give a shit about being here. But
I want to do the pub quiz, but I couldn't care less where I come in the pub quiz. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Where you come, that's one for his round.
Oh, bloody hell.
Jonathan!
Bloody hell, Jonathan.
You mind out the gutter, as Jonathan would say. We'll do a little bit of a review of the quiz at the end, Jonathan's quiz.
Yeah.
So the first bit of criteria, out of 5, playability.
It's a playability. You can't call the first... quiz. What was it called again? The first
state the obvious.
Don't say that if it's not obvious.
It's just
because it's fucking people up. I think the first round should be something that everyone feels they can get everything right, so they're like, so everyone feels good, and then like, and then you fuck them later. USSR. What they shot the flag at the moon.
You fuck with us, Alex. Do you know what, Jonathan? Actually, I would even say if you'd have put that round last.
Yeah.
That might. I guess it was.
And then you finish off with an easy one. That's like a head fuck. I mean, I didn't mind it. It was an experience, but like, you know, I'd prefer to feel safe at the start and then feel more anxious at the end. So that I don't. Yeah, that's my only notes. Apart from that, great quiz, great questions.
Great questions. Well, yeah. Range of questions.
And I learned something.
Range of questions is the next criteria. Out of 10.
Yeah, great. I think that's a really good range of questions.
It's a good number out of 10, huge.
10.
10?
You did
say out of 10.
Yeah, no, but fair enough. He's actually gone with 10.
I think it's a good range of questions.
Is it? Oh, sorry, I said out of 5.
And then what should you make this one out of? Out of 20, what would you say, just your general good vibes, including the producers, including the lighting system, including the beer, including the... the quiz, and including meeting me and Liam for the first time.
A bit of a pressure question to ask you guys on Live on the Pod.
Yeah, you're live on the pod. What are you going to say?
I'm going to say, like, out of 20?
Out of 20 on this one, yeah.
20, I've enjoyed everything.
Oh, yeah, we've really enjoyed
you. I mean, where's the port scratchings, obviously, but, like, apart from that, like, you know what I mean? Like,
huge, I'm going to say, we don't normally do a rating of our guests, but I would say you've made us feel the most comfortable out of any of our guests.
Oh, really? The blasé.
You know what I feel? I don't know if you feel like this. It feels like I've not done a podcast, actually.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It just feels like it's almost like we just had a bit of a chat, laid back, answered some questions. It's almost like, should we start now?
I feel like it's lovely.
I feel like you never turned it on.
No, I do.
I feel like we just really had a lovely...
Not for no fee. obviously, I'm not going to fucking turn it on. That's crazy.
You did turn it on, though.
Yeah.
This has been lovely. It's been really, really lovely.
Yeah. So a huge thank you to our quizmaster Jonathan from the Cayman Islands. Again, Jonathan, please send
Jonathan,
in another
no bad
quiz.
Blood between us. I just felt like I had to say something rude for the brand. But I respect you, and I think you should be making quizzes long into your... I imagine you're in your 70s.
I think just from a moral standpoint, do declare some of that tax. Okay.
Yeah.
Cheers, mate. But please do keep sending
in. Pay for those ambulances.
Yeah. And then obviously a massive thank you to Huge Davis for being on our quiz team today.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really